Hello, welcome to the Max Show. Yes, sorry if you've downloaded last week's show and realised that it wasn't correct. I think it's the Big Show I screwed up though, not the Max Show. So the Max Show's perfect. The Big Show was screwed up. I'm sorry. I'm an idiot. I did it rushing. I do apologise. I did it late as well, which didn't help. Joining me to discuss the week in Apple News, fantastic panel. Start us up, top left, Kelly G. Been a while ago. Not been on the Max Show for a bit.
Hey, how's it?
It's hanging a little to the left, but all right. What's been going off with you?
Loads, actually. I went to Disneyland, and I saw Star Wars a bunch of times. And there was Christmas in there somewhere, and then I had to go to Alaska for a wedding, and then I got sick, and then I came home, and now I'm here. So there you go.
My big fat Alaskan wedding.
Yeah, I guess.
Okay.
There were quite a few people there, so that'll count.
What, yeah. What do you think, Star Wars? There might be spoilers here, so anyone, if you're listening, there might be spoilers.
Don't, I've not seen it.
No, I'm not going to give anything away.
Oh, okay.
I really enjoyed it.
Well, you can't give anything away because it's the same as number four. So
it's similar. I will give it that it is similar, but there were some specific aspects of this one that I enjoyed a whole lot.
When you know someone who's a dyed-in-the-wool fangirl goes, I'll give you that there was some things that were similar, it means it's the friggin' same. Right there.
Look, it's a planet-sized thing that can shoot up other planets, and it has a giant trench in the middle.
And does things.
Yeah, I get it.
And things. Yeah.
And then boom.
And then things. Yeah.
But there was some stuff in it that was really great, and there was some stuff that was really unexpected, and I enjoyed the entire thing. So,
okay. Well, we can't talk about one because I picked one of them because I knew that person didn't want to be in the movie. Right. Enough said. Next to her, it's Adam. How you doing, mate?
I'm doing good.
We just didn't discuss him before we started. You are in newsreader mode, dude. You are just reporting from the scene.
From the back of a U-Haul, maybe. But yeah.
The one thing I did say before we started, you said, does it look all right? And I did say, there's a touch of the Eric Lanigans about that shot, which is kind of nice, mate, because he was a very, very well-prized member of this network. So good homage to him, mate. Good homage. Beneath him from the office, it's Doc. Super smiley Doc.
I'm having a good time. I just been slammed like crazy, working my buttocks off, but it's almost time to go on a vacay, so just keep working.
Where are you going on vacation?
I don't know yet. I'm just going to pick a spot and go. But nine times out of ten, it will either be two choices automatically. San Francisco,
Japan.
It's England. Just like my plane is equal distance.
England, man.
Oh, that's summertime.
Come and drink some shit beer and eat great curry.
Shit beer.
I'm waiting for Patricia's reaction to this text I just sent him.
Okay. Oh, we hear it. There we go.
Yeah.
And last but by no means least, Patrice Brendan Moore. How the devil are you?
I am pretty good.
He's traumatized right now.
Don't want to know what doctor sent me.
Are you a bit distracted?
Okay, a little bit, yes.
I'll send it to you in too. Hold on.
Don't worry. Whatever it is, it'll wind up in your GPU cache and you'll never be able to get rid of it.
A little. It wind up, yes. Into my
brain. A whiskey tour of the UK, says Batwench.
Is that a thing?
Yeah. We got another distillery.
That I can do. Oh my God, that would be so true.
Well, no, the thing that's really good, so you got to realize, if you go on a whiskey tour of Britain, there's issues around drinking and driving, obviously. You don't want to do it. And also, they're spread out fairly well. But if you go to the Force Hotel near Thurso, they've got something like 260 whiskeys up there covered. So you can sit in a bar in a hotel in the north of Scotland and just drink all of the whiskeys that you would do if you went to the distillery tours, which, you know, you're never going to get through 260, are you?
Challenge accepted.
We've had an email. Upgrading of power. Oh, I have to have a look at that a bit closer.
Sorry. I apologize in advance.
Not a little bit distracted. We've had a letter, right? Okay. Now, if you remember last week, do you remember Barry's letter from last week?
Yes.
Just for those that haven't caught up yet. Hi, Ewan and the Mac crew. I'm writing to you out of sheer frustration as long as I can remember. The podcast app plays the episodes from newest to oldest and not oldest to newest. I was wondering if there's a reason for this that has eluded me. I've asked everyone I know and they have no clue why. I was wondering if anyone knew the name of the dipshit at Apple who thought this was a good idea. Thus, I can send him an email. Regards, Barry. You remember that?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I gave him the solution.
Right, no. So I think the problem was actually that we've leapt on what we think the answer was to that without actually reading Barry's email. Because Barry's written back and he says, hi, Ewan and the Mac crew. Thank you for reading out my email last week, but completely avoiding the point I was making. I know how to change playing direction of the podcast in the podcast app, but I was wondering why some dipshit decided that newest to oldest was the logical direction. To me... More evidence that Apple is forgetting the simple things that make the difference and not focusing on the detail, which is what always set them apart. And I think he has a point there.
True.
He has a point
I guess he has the point until you realize, you know, the problem here is he's not listening to his podcast fast enough.
Well, no, but who would want to?
No, I mean,
who would want to listen to podcasts? You could ask the same question
about Facebook or Twitter, why the timeline is newest to oldest, all of that. I think it's something, I don't know, who introduced it in
the podcast, you wouldn't have this problem. Well, there'd only ever be a new one to listen to.
Well, no, because if he kept up with his podcast, old forward or backwards wouldn't make any difference. But there is a point there that apologies, Barry. Teasing. We didn't read your email correctly the first time. I do apologise, mate. We've leapt on a solution that wasn't required. But he has a good point that the simple things there, if you're going to have podcasts, they would play, logically, they would play oldest to newest, not newest to oldest. Mm-hmm. The default setting... is newest to oldest, and that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I get it.
So, yeah. Good point. I just wanted
but
to
you
support...
still haven't answered his question.
Yeah, we have.
No, he wants the email.
Well, he wants the email of the dipshit that worked it out, so we don't know the email of the dipshit that worked it out.
I would say timcook@apple.com.
Tim.cook, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
But there's a good point as well in that if you look at the simple things, so Martin's here. Martin Kelly's the one of the people from the London Mac User Group. I said he was chairman last time, and he's not, apparently. So elevated status. Martin's here. And Martin's bought my iPad Pro because I wanted the cellular version. Shut up, Weekly. I know what you said.
Chairman last time, he's...
Whoa. He said that. Who was that? So anyway, I've ordered it, I bought it, and I thought, okay, I'll just pop out the SIM from my old iPad Air and stick it in the iPad Pro, and that'll be fine, and there we go. And I got the SIM tool, and it's a bent frigging paperclip. It's not liquid metal. It's none of that fancy stuff that they used to do. It's a bent paperclip, and I'm not kidding you, right? Are you ready? Watch this. There you go. It's an even more bent paperclip now.
Yeah,
it's just a cheap piece of shite.
Yeah,
and when you push it in the hole, in order to get the SIM out, it actually flexes. So I just want to go back to Barry's point about Apple is just ignoring the detail. It is missing the stuff that set it apart, and I think that's a great example right there. There you go, nasty piece of shite.
Yeah,
I wanted my liquid metal one, which I kept. It's in the thing here.
Yeah, mine is.
Yeah, that'll bounce right back.
The liquid metal one is a solid piece of metal. It doesn't flex. It doesn't bend. It's beautiful, and that's just.
Well, if you flex it, it'll flex right back.
That's a paperclip.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
There you go. I'll pay me a point.
Yeah, and Apple probably saved 1 cent or something.
Yeah. If that.
Well, you guys still get them over there? They don't even include them anymore. I mean, they don't even come in the box.
I think
anymore.
I got one.
Yeah, well,
I got one. Paperclip one.
I thought my 6S, I think, came with a paperclippy one. So, not
I
that I care.
Check
because
that
I have
check again. I don't think it did.
I've never taken it out.
Mullerbiker said his 6S did. Yes.
I'll have to grab the box. Maybe I missed
it. But it's one that's crap because it wouldn't have stayed on my keys because it would flex and then it would come off my keychain. And that's not cool.
Ah, now you guys are going to make me get up.
Deep Pan says, is Barry holding it wrong?
Clearly.
What the hell's going on? Who's got that?
What was that?
It's Doc.
Oh, Doc's got a
stormtrooper.
He's got a white toy against a white background, which isn't working really in video.
All you need to see is the eyes, bro.
It's not a stormtrooper.
It's the fact that I have a 4-foot stormtrooper. I have a 4-foot Vader, but he's well placed.
Mate, from where we're looking, that looks like a Rorschach test. It's not.
No, it's not the stormtrooper. It's the stick.
It's. I see my mother. Tell me about your mother.
It's a better. It's a butterfly.
If you're on audio, so. Story one, then. Let's do some stories, because there is some news this week. Not much, but there is some. Apple is consistently, outside of Asus and Lenovo's killing it, but Apple is one of very few customers, that, or computer firms, that is actually in the positive for growth of against the PC market. Mm-hmm. Fourth quarter for 15 against fourth quarter for 14. Is showing a 6.5% increase on sales for Apple, 21% for Lenovo, and I don't know whether that's just they had a shit quarter at the end of 14 or not, and a 0.01% increase for Asus, but an increase is an increase. Others are down 17%. If you walked into PC World and gone, can I have one of those other PCs, then you shouldn't have done. And Dell is down by a small amount. HP is dropped remarkably, 10% nearly.
There's only three of the one, two, three, four. Only half of them are even in the positive, and one of them is by a tenth of a percent.
Yeah, so, I think we can discount that. That's probably an anomaly.
So yeah, that could be a stagnating.
Lenovo's killing it though. I mean, did they have a buyout?
What are they doing?
Well, they were bought out, weren't they, from IBM 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago. That might be a bit. That's not to deal with that. But a 21% increase on Lenovo.
That's what I mean. Like, what are they up to?
I think the corporate, that's got to be corporate sales, surely. Because, I mean, it is the go-to corporate computer, the old ThinkPad.
Yeah. Yeah, the ThinkPad is now a Lenovo machine. Yeah.
Mm.
So, was it Windows 10 or something? Like, rolling that out, is that why everybody needed to upgrade? Because I wonder. Because that seems like a crazy number, even for corporate.
Whose numbers are these? Are these Gartner's numbers?
Yeah, Gartner's preliminary US PC vendor ship unit assessments for Q4 2015. Go on.
Your numbers are you sorted the table wrong or something?
No, that's from Mac Rumors, dude. He did nothing.
That's from Mac Rumors, yeah. I don't think for one second that I do any due diligence.
I'm looking at the original report, trying to double check the numbers, and this shows Lenovo down 8.1.
No. That chart was from April 6th. This chart is Tuesday, January 12th, 2016, 7:15 p.m. by Julie Clover.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the one I'm looking at.
Yeah, so there's two. There you go.
There's two charts, bro.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm confused.
It's just laptops and desktops, it's not including pads or anything like that.
But I just wonder what...
It's overall PC shipments.
Yeah, I wonder what the... Well, shipments. Okay. So not purchased.
Shipping estimates from Gartner. Worldwide PC shipments from Lenovo, HP, Dell, Asus, and Acer are down. Apple also broke into Gartner's list of the top 5 world PC vendors for the first time. Shipping 5.7 million. There we go.
According to Lenovo on their site, part of this growth is in China, and I'm reading as fast as I can. Sorry,
but that was the first Chinese firm as well, though, isn't it? So, which is a good thing. U.S. Apple's market share was also posted as well, and it's yin and yang in a little bit, but it's on an upward trend. So,
cool.
Can you go back to that chart? Look at the link.
Bear in mind you're on the British Tech Network.
And show me the Lenovo number that's 21%.
There you go. I'm showing it. There you go.
No, in the link I posted in the chat room, the original Gartner press release on their site.
Which I haven't got. I just went to Mac Rumors, mate. I go to Mac Rumors 15 minutes before the show.
That's what I'm trying to tell you.
It's table two, mate.
That's table two, yeah.
How the sausage is made, kids.
Preliminary U.S. PC vendor unit shipments for Q4.
Table 2 is U.S. and table 1 is worldwide.
I'm caught up.
Yeah, worldwide and U.S.
There's signal lag in the broom cupboard.
why are we looking at the U.S. number versus the worldwide numbers, though?
Because it was a bigger number and it was fun. That's all.
Oh.
That's the fun number, Adam.
There was the signal British lag. It's just an ability, the inability
show,
to
not
scroll
not
down.
The US-focused Mac show.
No, it's okay. So if you want to do the worldwide shipping stuff, Apple's the only one that's in the positive, up 2.8%. If you want to do the US one, there's an interesting thing that the US seems to be buying Lenovo pretty heavily and stuff and everything else.
Well, yeah, because that puts more color on the numbers for me, because I would say, and then 100% agreement with you, that Lenovo, that's business sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah,
very totally. Likely. Yeah.
I think that's what I said. I mean...
Well, yeah, you did, but I mean, it makes more sense now because.
Mm. You know what might have caused a big jump in the business sales in the U.S. is I believe we're on a government cycle, and government, like at least in our state government, it's largely Lenovo. It used to be Dell.
Those things.
And then they switched to Lenovo because they realized more people should be mobile because they're sitting in their office, they're not doing any work. So and, a lot of the guys in the field, especially your road crews, the guys that are inspectors and whatever, is like they're taking a show on the road where before they couldn't because everyone was worried about security, but these things are getting better. So I think that's a large portion of it.
And if you compare the numbers, the HP and Dell, they've shrunken pretty much the same worldwide, but Acer has lost worldwide quite a lot.
That's kind of
also interesting.
Their small hand devices seem to be very popular when I travel throughout, you know, Asia and whatnot. But I can see where their computers just like took a tank. Like there's really nothing exciting that they make right now. You know, it's kind of. I still think the thing, a lot of it has to do with we will sit there and have this argument all day that, you know, we can't replace our laptops and whatnot with various tablets. But anecdotally, I don't have any scientific evidence behind it, but just visually, when I'm at Starbucks now, instead of a bunch of laptops, I see a bunch of people on tablets, and a lot of them are either, you know, your Surface or your iPad, iPad Pros and the like, or Samsung. I want to call it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting the train to London tomorrow, and 90% of the people that I'll see on a computing device, it will be an iPad, or it will be something that's pad-related. There was a guy last week, I was traveling home, and I sat there, and I pulled out my iPad Pro, and he looks at it like, oh, it's an iPad Pro, you lucky bastard. And I've got my Apple Watch on, and I've got my Apple phone, and put that down on the counter. And he stood there, and he's got a Lenovo ThinkPad, and he's got like USB hubs stuck to the back of it on Velcro with wires going in and out. And I'm like, wow. But the rest of him is Appled up, and I'm like, Jesus, dude, why are you Appled up like that? And then you're using a Lenovo, he said, computer from work.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's it. If they're using a work computer, it could be anything. But generally speaking, if people are getting out their own devices, it's 90%. It's an iPad.
The interesting thing about your observation to me too, Doc, is this is exactly what Apple said, you know, what, 3-4 years ago, that people were going to be moving to tablets and you know, away from PCs for a lot of tasks, and they were kind of mocked back then by the PC manufacturers. But I think you're right. I think the numbers are kind of showing that.
Well,
people,
you know,
are
the reason why
PC
I think
everything
got so heavily mocked, and even to this day, there are pundits that will tell you that, you know, it's heavily mocked. I mean, pundits that will still heavily mocked is because people are under this impression that somehow computing is binary. Like, I got a laptop or I got a tablet.
Yes.
Well, people, I got both. And sort of what's happening to me now personally, and we've had this conversation in the back channels, this laptop is on his way out. And for the first time, and I'm going to say, God, oh my, I'm going to have to take this back for a while. Maybe for the first time in about 15 years, I am going to buy a desktop that will be my desk computer. And it will sit there for the things that I need to do on the desk that are the power things. But the majority of the business aspect, including a large portion of what I need to do in Vector now in order to run my business, I can do out of my iPad Pro. I'm mind blown by what Adobe has done. I'm mind blown by what Procreate and these other guys have done. And Smile Software with my PDFs and my invoices. And I'm in tech, and this mind blows me every time I open up my iPad Pro to put it to another test. And I'm like, yo, it just kicked that in the butt. And everybody was poo-pooing this before the product shipped, you know? So I just really think that the reason why we might even be seeing some shift is, if you are my, you know, my mom and dad, or Kelly's mom, which is always our filter back in the TAW days, she could totally get by with an iPad Pro and nothing else.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, I have an aunt who does business. Exclusively iPad. That's all she, like, her computer is the iPad, because she's got the bank app on it that allows her to do all of the basic banking stuff. And she's got messages and FaceTime, so she can communicate with everybody. She can do email, look up web pages, and she has all of the capability on it that she needs. So,
but it falls down at printing.
Upgraded, you know, the 10-year-old machine that they had at their house. What she did was upgrade to an iPad. And I know a number of people for whom that is a very reasonable use case. And those people have all been, because this is the thing I always hit on with technological honesty. Like, if you really sit down and think about the stuff that you really want to do on your computer, if it's sometimes web pages, sometimes email, I need to look at the book face, and, you know, I want to play a slot machine game, or, you know, like whatever the one solitaire game is that you like, then you can do an iPad and be done with it and be so much better off. And I think that a lot of people are finally sort of coming around to that way of thinking, because we've gotten out of all the megahertz monster wars and all of that stuff. And, you know, and it's gotten less impressive to have a computer. And so now I think people can really just look at it as utility. You know, nobody cares how fast your microwave is. Nobody cares what the processor is, you know, in your coffee maker. Like, you turn it on and it makes coffee, and that's it.
Can we let Patrice in before he explodes?
Patrice, Kelly, Patrice in.
Yes. I mean, I can tell you that my mom hasn't turned on her iMac for the last 3.5 months. I know, because I get the backup report every week, and it tells me it hasn't been on for 3.5 months. So she's using her
iPad. So she's got a new boyfriend then?
No.
I'm telling you, mate.
To the Macs, Deepan said that bring your own device is getting a lot of traction in business. And I think it's more than that, because a lot of bigger companies are also getting, in general, more open to other platforms. I mean, my company, for example, was a heavy, I would say heavy Windows company, Windows-based company, and now we have a lot of Macs. I mean, if you ask for a Mac, you will get one. There's no discussion anymore. And I mean, the whole IBM thing, I think there's more than just bring your own device.
Yeah. Apparently Muller's microwave is quite fast. I didn't think we were going to talk for that long about that, I have to say. Apple is to announce its iAd program. Is to be dismantled and passed over. It's going into outsourcing, isn't it? Into something that's off-world.
No. That's not right.
Oh, go on then.
That's not right at all.
Come on, fanboys.
Yeah, they're getting rid of their internal sales team, and they're going to just have it automated. So if you want to buy an iAd, you'll go into a system and you'll order up. You'll place the order yourself. So
So the producers will also get part of the revenue, like, you know, so Apple's not even going to take out their 30% anymore. Like, the producers will get part of the revenue. They're almost following the Google model, but a little bit differently. It's like DFP for publishers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm kind of not, I have very mixed feelings about this. I feel like if they're going to go this route, because the whole point when Apple announced iAd, they came out and said, we think mobile advertising sucks. Basically, we're going to change the game here. We're going to create great, compelling mobile advertising. That's why we're going to have a hand in it. That's why we're going to, you know, help work with the partners to produce the ads and things like that. Mm-hmm. The whole point was getting away from all of these things that every other third-party mobile ad company is doing. And here they are now saying, it didn't work. We're letting the sales staff go, and we're just going to do what everybody else is doing. I kind of feel like if they're going to go that route, just get out. Just cut. I think what you said originally, Ewan, is what they should be doing. Just leave it to somebody else to do.
Yeah. That's what I thought they were doing, I have to say. I do apologize. Mm-hmm.
No, that was just shitty reporting, as usual. From no, not from you. I mean, from Mac Rumors and all those sites.
No. It would apply to me as well, Patrice, because I said it. So. Like I said,
because you didn't check.
If you come to this network for due diligence, moron.
That's on you, buddy. Yeah. It's not our problem.
This is another thing where Apple is spread so thin right now. Anyway, why do they, I don't understand why they need this part of the business. I don't think, I have to go back and look at the financials, but I don't think iAd or ad revenue is really bringing that much to the company's bottom line. So I can see that they can automate it, but they're still going to need a lot of engineers and people. There's still a lot of staff that's going to have to still support this thing. And again, if they're doing the same thing that everybody else is doing, what's the point?
Yeah, I think maybe the reason is that, some developers, I mean, me included, are using it for, and they can't go out or can't get out that fast.
Yeah, but they got to
slow out. I expect that it will die eventually. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, anyway, Adam, to your point, 2014, it was 2.5% of their money. And then in 2015, it's 2.6%. So it's not like it's failing, but their reason for getting out was, again, this is anecdotal BS where people say a friend of a friend who worked with a friend who once hugged this guy that works at Apple said they're getting out of it because they admitted that they're just bad at it. But I agree with Patrice. They can't rip the Band-Aid on this one because if they did, we'd be talking about the different headline about how Apple ruined all these developers' life because they ripped the Band-Aid on a product that really doesn't serve them any purpose.
Yep. And if they're admitting they're bad at it, it's just another reason why, like, just get out completely. So maybe this is the first step in a slow sort of withdrawal from iAd.
Deep Pan in the chat room says, facts, we don't need no stinking facts. And that's facts, by the way, not fax, as in the 1990s technology, which is now obsolete.
Well, we don't need those either.
I just want to say point blank, if it wasn't for us being fanboys, we couldn't have a show. So stop saying that. This is like going, humans, you guys are humans. Shut up with that.
It's just Muller.
So how much do I... Muller. Ewan, how much do I have to kick into Patreon for you to get up from behind your desk and just go smack him upside the head for me?
Who?
Muller,
what's he said? What's he done?
I want SmackDown as a service. I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, $100, yours. I'll hold him down for that. Come to the bash, I'll hold him down. $100, you can beat the shit out of him.
You should totally make a website that looks super serious, like it's a real thing, but it's like one of these onion websites where SmackDown has a service where people can come in. It's like Uber. You can Uber pay to bitch slap somebody.
There are ladies that provide that kind of service already, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, there's some guys in my old neighborhood that'll take care of it, no problem. But I think it would be super funny if it looked legit. Yeah. Like, I
with
saw
an app
this.
And everything.
Dom, just Google femdom, mate, and you'll find plenty of places in Hawaii, I'm sure. You won't have to go anywhere. Save on the airfare, dude.
You can probably find someone on Fiverr to do that for you.
So there was a site that somebody posted a long time ago that you could have you can rent black friends so that way no one will call you a racist. It was a total joke site, but it was like 20 pages deep. And it was like,
I bet they had loads of calls.
Rent a black friend hiring agency. It was pretty funny. Like, it was well done. I got to find the site for you guys. It's super hilarious.
It would actually be funny with an app and you can basically order someone to smack someone else or smack you.
Deep Pan says, that wouldn't work, Kelly, because Muller would be willing to pay $200 for you to beat him up.
Everybody wins, right?
Yeah, everybody wins. Apple is going to buy Time Warner for TV streaming.
What? Oh, God, no.
Apple shows interest in buying Time Warner assets for streaming TV services. I think this is a bit of boost Time Warner's shares.
Is this somebody was sitting in a bar and went, what would be awesome? And like idiot analyst heard it and now we're talking about it here.
Let me finish. Yes. So Eddie Q, one of Apple's chief executive, Tim Cook's top lieutenants, apparently. It sounds like the mafia. He's in charge of content deals. He's been keeping tabs on proceedings at Time Warner. Well, who wouldn't? A source close to Apple said, what kind of friggin' rumor is that? That's just like, oh, we need our share price up. Oh, Turner Media's not doing so well. Oh.
Mm. Here's my concern that there is some validity to this thing, and this is something that Apple is currently actually entertaining. I'm not throwing
you are
it out
the newsreader right tonight, so go for it.
Yeah,
I'm gonna get a scrolling ticker under your nose. Go for it.
I'm just Apple has been doing. They got their fingers in too many pies.
Crazy crap.
I'm
is that what you're trying to say?
More and more feeling like this is just this is stuff they're entertaining, and there's a lot of parts of their business, I think, that are suffering from this kind of thinking. And it just worries me when I read these stories that this is really internal thinking that's going on. I pray and hope that it's not, but there's a part of me that thinks, man, they might be actually thinking about this.
I see you getting email this week.
I'm going to make a point to you, Adam, and you just try to run with this.
Okay.
If, say, Patrice Brendamore played for Barcelona, and Patrice Brendamore was taking shots all over the field, he would probably get scanned alive by the fans because he doesn't have the resources to take those shots. But if one Lionel Messi took the shot every time he had the ball, nobody would poo-poo him because he scores 52 goals a year. So with the amount that they have and what they're doing, even if they started to do something a little bit stupid, they can afford to do stupid right now.
Well, they're doing a lot of it. I have no idea what that analogy means. My point is they're doing a lot of it.
And I'm not talking about the core games.
I don't have problems with OS 10 or iOS or iPhone or iPad or any of those things. But you look at HomeKit, you look at CarPlay, you look at iCloud, you look at media services. This stuff's a mess.
It is very Scully-like, you have to say.
Okay, I want to fix something, though.
It is.
And I fix this all the time in my friends' brains. All right, so, and we're American, so if this is not the way the British think, please tell me. And if it is the way the British think, please tell me. People will say, we shouldn't be spending money on the war effort because we need to fix education. And that sentiment goes out all the time, right? But they're not going to take the money from iTunes Music and use it to make OS 10 flawless. That's not how budgets work. Budgets go in the tunnel they go to, and if you have surplus resources, it doesn't instantly pick up from one set of books and move to another set of books.
That's not what he's talking about, though.
It is.
It's got nothing to do with budgets. It's got nothing. No, stop, mate. The comment that Adam's just made has got absolutely sod all to do with budgets. It's got nothing to do with budgets at all.
Budget in it.
It's not about budgets. Involved in all budgets. There is so much money.
It's not money budgets, but people resource budgets. Person who's doing that doesn't match. No. They can't just get them and go to the other office and say, I'm here to work on cloud services.
No, but the point is that I agree with Adam, I think, on this particularly. I think it's not about, go back to the old days when Scully went and Jobs was brought back in and Jobs quarters off the board and says, here, we got four things that we do and that's what we're going to stick to and we're going to do those properly. I'm not sure that Apple is sticking to that tenet of having a limited scope, fitting a niche that sells their products, that works, that then makes them a fortune from it. They have diversified. Now, they have diversified in a lot of good areas. I think the pad is a good area to diversify into. The iPad Pro is a winner. The watch is a winner. I think it's a complementary device that works with. CarPlay is left field. And, there's one of the stories we're going to do tonight. Elon Musk, was asked on the BBC if he's surprised about Apple doing a car product. He says, they've hired thousands of people. Why would I be surprised? It's the worst kept secret in Silicon Valley.
Yeah.
And he's right. He's absolutely right. And where is Apple getting into cars and automation? If you're going to take people away to provide them to projects, I got no problem with that. But the projects have to be at your core business. And Apple is a consumer electronics firm. That's fine. But it never was a consumer electronics firm that was as big as, Sony sticking its fingers in everything and anything that didn't work.
Right.
And where are they now? And Samsung. And this is one of the things that we said last week. Their success will kill them, ultimately. I think Adam's right. I think they're diversifying too far. I think they have their fingers in too many
parts. I think you are both basically talking about the same thing, because if you diversify, you need budgets for that. Whether it's money or people, doesn't matter. At the end of the day, there is money attached also to people.
Apple's got enough money to make sure there's enough people.
That because someone also has to manage all those pods and all those people. So anybody in a big company will tell you that it's not always about having enough money and having all unlimited resources, because sometimes that in itself causes some issues.
I just go back to Barry's point about, sorry, Kelly, go back to Barry's point about why does podcast say backwards and not forwards? Jobs would have sat there and gone, no, okay, look, why does podcast play forwards and backwards and not forwards? And he would have killed it there and then, because he was the nth degree end tester, and that person doesn't exist anymore. There is no control freak, if you like, within Apple.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I feel like I feel like there's a certain amount before Doc goes ahead and tells us all how we're totally wrong. I totally agree with Adam on this. I feel what I want Apple to do with this. I said this yesterday on Daily Observations. What I think Apple should do, if they're doing anything, because I don't know if this is any more serious than, you know, Time Warner's bottom line's not looking so hot right now. Maybe we could, you know, maybe we could kick some money over that way. Maybe we could pick them up and get like the hotline to all that content. Like, what if they just went, and I know how this sounds, what if they just went full Microsoft on it? And they were like, dear Time Warner, we're going to write you a big fat check and you're going to let us have all your TV shows and all your music and all your movies. And we can put all that on the Apple TV. And that way, your bottom line looks good. You don't end up having to dump CNN or Turner Broadcasting just in order to try and make some easy cash. And then once you've got that sorted, like, we also now have this awesome content deal. Like, love Apple. You know, that to me is the ideal solution to this. I still think getting into the content business, every time a rumor like this comes around and we have to talk about it, I think Apple getting into the content game itself is a sucker's bet. They're best at being the conduit. Hand me the album for a dollar. Don't go out and start hiring A&R people and building your own label.
Which just is what we're talking about.
Just make it easy for me to buy the records that are already out
which
there.
Which is what, exactly what Adam and I have
said. That, that's the rumor, but if it's more what Kelly's talking about, and I want Doc to jump in because I want to hear what he has to say, but Kelly, that makes more sense to me.
Bear in mind, the big show's at
Microsoft,
nine.
We're going to make an investment to prop you up so you can get going again.
Yeah.
But yeah, and go, we get some sort of special access for that. That's what I want to see happen. If this is anything at all besides, wouldn't it be awesome? I've had that conversation, you know. Of course, Doc, somebody at Apple is having, wouldn't it be great if we could just,
three,
you know, all the time? So,
2, 1, Q Doc.
Okay, so, two things. I said last week, what Kelly just said is probably the new Apple investment vehicle. So, I'm going to hold that. Kelly, again, mark this on your calendar. You're partially right. I think Apple will start to invest from the format of being a VC and not so much digging their hands into it. And that's cool. So we're going to let that go. But to what you and what's that kid in the closet name? Adam were saying, you guys remember the poster from 2002. There's a Manapua iMac in the middle, a.k.a. lampshade, a.k.a. whatever you call it, articulating neck. It had an iPod, a printer, a DVD icon, a camera, a video camera, and another DVD icon. And there, Apple was the center of your digital hub. The digital hub has morphed a little bit. And some of the things that you think right now are not connected are slightly connected. Because some of the biggest usage of Apple's, one of their biggest products, which is iTunes and podcasts and whatnot, happens to be the car. And they're getting into energy because everyone is saying, if you guys are going to keep creating this metal and plastic, you got to be more energy efficient. So they start building energy stuff. They're building a whole campus that runs completely off the grid. They're doing these things not to be distracted because the digital hub is morphed and they're just following the digital hub. And in the end, when we get to that point where the car does come out, it will be very much digital. Almost in the same sense. It could be a moving mobile office.
I never brought up the car.
I'm cool with the car.
No, I just one point. I want to say that I think the car is the diversification, because if you're talking about the content car play, I don't disagree that that's a diversion from the digital hub, but the driving car isn't.
No, but I'm saying in the sense that by the time they get it done, it might be, we don't know, I'm guessing here, it might be autonomous, and therefore it's now an extended office. And so if you can do your MacBook sitting in the car, not actually touching it, but, you know, talking to it, arm crossed, be like, okay, put the latest results from the BTN podcast, send a text to you and call Kelly. Like, that's going to be an office, and then that leads into, like, we never thought computers would get off the table when we first started.
To be honest, both the iPad and the iPhone were diversions from their existing product line or market. And you know, one thing, because a lot of people always bring up this 1997 Steve Jobs thing with the four quadrants. One of the reasons they did that is because they were losing a lot of money and they had to focus on a few things, a few core things to save the company. Today, Apple is in a very different position because they have a lot of money and they are not losing any money, at least not now. So they can do more, which doesn't mean that they should do everything. But I don't think we should go back to 1997 because it's a different company.
They did it to themselves by licensing their hardware. And yes. When Power Computing makes a better Apple computer than Apple Computer does, you have a problem.
Yeah, but I think the comparatives with 1987, I agree with that. It's not about the fact they haven't got any money in the war chest anymore. That's fine. But what I'm saying is that you look at the amount that they're diversifying away from core business, that raises alarm bells with me. It definitely does. I think they are a long way off their beaten path. I see the parallels that Doc is drawing, but I think, okay, if you're talking about the CarPlay being an interactive process that I can work with to then extend the office, that's fine. But the leap to a car that drives me home, which is now my office, there's a certain point. If I'm driving home, I don't want to be at the frigging office. Why the hell do I want my office to follow me in a sodding car?
Yeah, but we're talking us. I'm with you, dude. I'm with you. I'd probably be the same way, but I know a whole bunch of people that would love that. And our roads would get somewhat safer, we think. We don't really know. I just think that we should just be open-minded because the time is changing. And until they screw it up really, really bad,
you mean like
you know what I mean? It's like I'm saying we can't get mad at Messi for taking a wild shot because he normally scores. Apple normally scores. So if they take a wild shot and it's stupid, we just laugh at it and go, silly Apple. But we shouldn't kick their ass over it.
And the thing is, a company that doesn't reinvent itself every, I don't know, couple of years, decade, whatever, will die eventually. We've seen that. So what Apple and also other companies like Facebook are trying to do with these wild moonshots is really finding the next big business they can be in once the one they have right now dies, because it will eventually die. I think that's almost inevitable. So I think that's also something we should keep in mind. And it's always,
they're not Apple Computer anymore.
Yes, yes. And for the stock market, it's also, not that we care, but Apple has to care to a certain degree. It's also important to show that they are thinking about the future and that they are not focusing on the core, which probably would be the iPhone right now, the core of their business, but are thinking about diversifying and making sure that once the iPhone isn't as attractive anymore for whatever reason, there is something else to follow it.
Chat room is chipping in. They're saying, since when did Steve Jobs do anything that was based on money and costs? He did that quadrant thing to streamline, focus and simplify, which is a good point, Deepan. Kelly says, stop saying sports ball. And Deepan says, Messier, M-E-S-S-Y, not meaning that's Messi, M-E-S-S-I, the Argentinian striker. But there we go.
I want to clarify my position because I think we got away from what I was originally saying when this topic came up. And so, Doc, you mentioned this hub thing, and I think you're absolutely right. And that's more or less what I am concerned about, is that Apple is not focusing on the hub. To me, the hub is because this story is about the media space, right? This is stories about Apple potentially buying Time Warner to, I would assume, run that business. And that's what I'm saying I don't want to see them doing. What I want to see them doing is things like Kelly mentioned, making an investment in getting content created or getting that into Apple's ecosystem, but also focusing on what they've always done, which is building the hub product. So you can look at iPod, and that brought in iTunes and that whole revolution. Then you look at iPhone, and that brought in the whole app revolution. And now in the media space, where I'd like them to get is where I think they started to head earlier this year when they announced the new Apple TV and said, look, we're not doing a streaming channel. We're not doing any of this stuff. We're going to have apps, and anybody who wants to create an entertainment app is going to be on our platform. So I want to see them focusing on making the Apple TV so awesome and getting it in so many people's homes that the media companies can't avoid it. They have to be on it. Yeah. That Amazon has to go, oh crap, we got to put Amazon Prime app on there because guess what? If we don't, we're out. So that's the only thing. I don't want to see them going out and trying to reinvent the wheel on the spokes of the hub. Stick to the hub and avoid the spokes, I guess. Avoid the tips of the spokes. That's all.
What Adam said. Thank you.
Hubs and spokes. There we go.
One thing that we didn't really say, but I think it should be said, I think recently, just for the first couple of days of the year, what the analysts have been saying, and then what the other analysts have come back and fought back with, it is starting to show that in certain people, like Digitimes and Business Insider, they are starting to catch up with these analysts who are saying things that cause the prices to move. And then they're using a super PAC to then go and buy these stocks and then sweep it back into their thing. So because people are coming up with the most crazy bozo stuff and the price tanks, and then all of a sudden it levels itself out. And then so I think someone's going to get caught in the near future. I'm going to put my money on it. Someone's going to get caught in the near future for manipulating the price by saying the stupidest stuff that they say.
Meanwhile, the rest of us can take advantage of it. I bought more stocks when it was down under.
Fire sale.
Yeah. I bought in more.
Daily Telegraph in the UK reports that Apple is creating a tool to help iPhone users switch to Android. They said apparently that there is going to be an application created that will allow you to take your contacts and all of your normal maily type stuff from your Android phone and just zing it straight over to your iPhone and you won't have a problem, so it'd be dead easy.
Didn't they do that already?
That's yeah, the they thing. Did that already.
No, apparently it's complete way around. It's complete bollocks. Yeah. No, Apple isn't creating a tool to help iPhone users switch to Android.
Oh, the opposite? Yeah, no, that's not.
Sorry. Yeah, hold on, let's clarify this story, please. Because Apple had already created an app for going from Android to Apple. Yeah. This week, what was being rumored was,
it was going the other way.
That Apple was going to be forced to create an app to let people take their data from iPhone to Android, and Apple said
and
no.
It's not. But what is a thing, because it was only going to be a link to another story, so calm down, boys, is that Night Shift is coming.
Yeah, woo! Apple Sherlocked another developer. Yay.
Good news, bad news.
Apparently, so this is great. I love this bit. This is superb. They've created Night Shift, which turns down the amount of blue light that comes out of your phone or your iPad, because apparently it screws with your circadian rhythms.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Kelly, that means that your monthly thing's going to happen at a different time, isn't it? No? Have I got that wrong?
That's not a circadian rhythm.
That's not a circadian rhythm. Okay, fine. My mistake. I do apologize.
However,
I thought that meant that the wife wouldn't bite my head off for a week.
No.
No, oh, damn. So yeah, no. Apparently, there's less blue light coming out your Mac, so you'll sleep better. Mm-hmm. Now, mm-hmm. I we've had an intense review in this, by the way, because I've spoken to Muller over here, and Muller. Now, Muller had an Android phone, and the Android phone actually did this for a while. It turned down the blue light and increased the yellow. And just to give you his review on this, it was, well, it looked weird, but, yeah, it didn't hurt your eyes. There you go. That's it.
Yeah.
That was the view. So
actually some science to that.
Whether it influenced his circadian rhythms or not, he didn't mention. But...
As I said, there's also some science to that, that blue light basically helps you to wake up or to stay awake. One of the reasons why I have a lot of red lights in my house now, or reddish lights, especially in my bedroom. So,
no, that's where you get the extra money. You get the extra money at the weekends. Come on, be honest.
why are we not jumping on the whole flux angle to this thing? Because this is the thing that's most irritating to me about this story.
Me too.
Tell us more, Adam.
Well, so there's an app you can get an app for your Mac, and you have been able to for a long time, called Flux.
Yes.
And the developers of Flux, like a month ago, was it? Maybe a month or two ago, posted instructions on their site and a build where you could use the developer tools to kind of back and sideload Flux onto your iOS device, which is a violation of the Apple developer agreement, I think. As far as I know.
The reason they did it is because they submitted to the App Store the iOS version of Flux and got rejected.
And now here's Apple a couple months later, and it may have already been in development. That's fine.
I'm going to say it was already in development.
They're once again, taking something that third-party developers had for years and made available, and when the third-party developer tried to bring it to iOS, they blocked it, probably fully well knowing that they had their own thing that they're going to build into the OS. And so now this developer's shut out. And I know they don't have a lock on the technology. I don't think there's a patent or anything, and Apple's not doing technically anything wrong. Mm-hmm. But
except that they should have allowed us the option of Flux.
Yeah,
there is another option that Apple didn't develop it themselves, but that they basically either bought the people or bought the app and integrated it.
But they didn't. Right.
Yeah, that's what happened. for people who are looking for this app, I just want to let you know, if you want it for your Mac, it is fantastic. I've used it for years.
Yes.
And to look it up, if you type in f.lux, that's actually the easy way to find it. And it's super fantastic. I really, really like it. I'm hoping that what Night Shift will do for me, I leave most stuff in dark mode or night mode or whatever on my phone anyway, because a lot of times I'm someplace where the lighting isn't very bright. And so, you know, when you switch something over to Safari and it loads up that bright white screen, it's just awful on your eyeballs. So the thing I want every time is for the standard empty screen to stop being glaringly white and be like the tiniest bit gray or the tiniest bit blue or the tiniest bit yellow or whatever, just so that it's not that like beam out from your phone. And I really wish that that would be the case. I'm hoping that this will
help mitigate that a little bit. The auto adjust on brightness helps with that.
It adjusts brightness, but it's still, I mean, it's still bright and still a white, blue,
the
whatever.
White screen, even at a very, very dim setting, is still much brighter than anything else you're looking at.
This is a gamma thing. It's a color temperature thing.
Yeah, it's not a gamma thing, but I agree. But to a certain degree, that's lessened by the fact if the white light becomes gray light or the blue light becomes purple light as a result, it's reduced.
Yeah, it does get mitigated.
I've got to say, it annoys the shit out of me. I sit there with the iPad. I open the iPad out, and I'm like, I can't see it. You know, whang, I want it. And I pull it over to the right. I love the white light. Bring it on, wide awake headlamps.
Well, for some stuff I do, like I want it, you know, like if I'm watching video or something on my iPad, I do want it to be brighter. But a lot of times on my phone, like if I tap on a link and it switches over to Safari and you get that white screen before everything loads, it's just really disorienting.
The only thing on the Mac is if you're editing, I don't know, video or if you're doing some photo work or something, you should disable Flux because, of course, it changes the colors and everything looks weird.
It's absolutely no use.
But you can do that. It's you can even disable it for certain apps automatically.
Yeah.
But it's no use if you've actually calibrated your screen. It you can't have any of that stuff.
True.
And I've calibrated my screens for everything. So.
Right, but like for some people, like somebody in Doc's setup, for example, who has a desktop machine and then maybe a laptop. Like if you take your laptop with you and it's your laptop you're in front of most of the time, you know, in the evening or at night, then you can install it on your laptop. And I like it because for me, it's also a noticeable difference. I can tell like when the screen starts to turn yellow. And so it's also sort of a visual cue for my brain to be like, hey, if your screen is this color, maybe you should be asleep right now.
Yeah. I can notice it. I've turned it to the yellowest yellow possible, but it's basically gradually changing it over time, and I don't notice it except when I disable it, and then I suddenly notice how yellow it really was.
I love the fact that when your screen gets certainly slightly yellow because it's over a certain time period, you don't think, oh, it's 10 o'clock, because that's what I think when my screen goes yellow. Right. Time for a beer.
Yes. Hey.
Last story, VLC is available in the Mac App Store for fourth generation Apple TV. Huzzah!
Wow.
Yeah, this will go and find all of your movie file formats that you like. It will look out across your network, and it will find anything that you've got using SMB, UPnP, Media Server, FTP, or Plex protocols, and it will get all of the stuff that you have, and it will play it on your Apple TV regardless of format.
Yes. What a mess.
Well, yes, but see, now I downloaded Plex the other day for Apple TV, and I looked at it. I thought, oh, that's great. And I opened it. He went, no, pay us $3.99. Sod off. I don't give a shit about you. $3.99. Bollocks. And I took it off. So if VLC will actually go out there without an extra payment and will go and find the stuff that I have, good on them. If they won't, well, you can piss off as well.
You know, the funny thing about the Plex thing in that aspect is it's run by a certain company, but then a lot of their like side loads are third party developers, and it drives me insane. Like on the Xbox 2, in order to use it on my Xbox One, I have to use a $4.99 Plex Pass kind of setup. On most of the other devices out there, my Android oriented stuff like the TV itself or like the Amazon Fire, you just use it. And I'm like, Plex, you guys got to figure this out, because you got to have some platforms where you got to pay Plex Pass and some platforms where you don't. And then so I ended up even though I like the interface on my Xbox so much better, I end up using just the one that's built into the Sony 4K because it doesn't cost me $5 a month. And I don't mind and giving $5 a month, but pick a side, damn it.
The one thing that bothers me, I don't have a problem with paying for stuff. That before people write in and say you're a tight ass ranking, I would quite happily give Plex $3.99. What I won't give them is $3.99 when it's a free download. If you charge for an amount of money, I want you to charge me for it. I don't want you to say, oh, it's free, and then when I open it, go, nah, $3.99.
Yeah,
that's my problem. I got no issue with paying for applications whatsoever. And my pick this afternoon or this evening is an application that actually is really quite innovative because it says, right, would you like to pay for us? And you play it for 20 or for 10 levels, and then it says, would you like to pay for us? Yes, I would, thank you. And I've paid them for their application, and it lets you choose what you want to pay them as well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the way forwards, I think. I'm pissed off with people that, oh, it's free, actually, but it's an in-app purchase because you can't play it because we've balked it until you do.
If it's useless without the money, then you should have just charged me up front.
Exactly. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Ended up doing the lifetime when it was half off at one point, so okay. Never been an issue for me.
This podcast and all this is brought to you by UK2. We're really, really grateful for them. Thank you so much for supporting us. 7 years now, they've been picking up all our bandwidth charges and all of the space that we've got. We've got 3.5, nearly 4 terabytes, actually, of data on the UK2 servers. The server that they give us is £500 a month worth. We couldn't afford to do the amount that we do. And everyone goes, oh, you know, you got Squarespace and you got Libsyn and all that kind of stuff. The amount of stuff that we store and the availability of it, we wouldn't get with anyone else. And it's a fantastic server. 100tb.com also give us the live streaming service. And also, we've got the NQL channel, which Anders has put together for us with Paul Wheatley. So the NGX server that we've got that actually drives all the live stuff is fine. That all works. But what Anders has written is an ability to utilize that server as we go on throughout the month. So if you go to the live channel britishtechnetwork.com/live and you click play, you will get a live show from the past. And what's really cool, and this really is cool, is because we haven't factored audio and it's only been the video shows, but Anders has worked out a way that you will get the news show. And you will get a past show from video, a past show from video, a past show from video, and then you'll get the news show from the last 3 days, and then you'll get a live show video again, and then you get the news show from the last 3 days, and it'll play them that way. And then he's also doing a thing this week as well, where every fifth one or something like that, it plays the news show from previous years. So you'll see what the news was on this day from a year ago, or from 2 years ago, or from 3 years ago, or from 5 years ago when we did it.
That's which awesome.
That's really cool. I think that's really, really cool. And it just goes back through all of our stuff. And we wouldn't be able to be doing any of that without the library from UK2. So thanks ever so much to them. And I want to give a shout out to Hoyer as well. If you haven't seen it, if you go to britishtechnetwork.com/reviews, there's my 6 month review of my Hoyer glasses. The glasses that I am wearing were provided to me by Hoyer purely for the purposes of doing the show. So the focal length for these is to the screen and to the camera. Nothing else. Don't work for anything else. I can't wear them home or anything like that, although I have because I've forgotten I've got them on. But I've got a review on the Hoyer glasses, and Martin is here, and you've bought Hoyer Advantix, haven't you, for your own glasses, and he's got big glasses. Let me just I'll borrow them. He can't see what I'm doing with them because I've got his glasses.
Oh
shit! Easy, mate. But there's Martin's glasses, so completely different shape from mine. There we go. Completely like what? Jesus Christ, dude! How do you see? Train smash. He obviously can't see the fingerprints all over them as well.
Wow.
But he's got big glasses. There we go. And those are Hoyer Advantix. So the style that I've got with the nice little lugs on and everything, you don't have to have those. You can have different styles and still be in the Advantix lens. And the thing is as well, if you look at the thickness of those, yeah, I mean, without those, Martin's chasing parked cars. Dude, sit down because I don't trust you without these on. But you look at the size of those, and they're in that Advantix plastic, which is just superb, and it's super light. It really is really, really good. If they were glass, I think I'd need a So thanks to Hoyer, they've supported us. They're great glasses. They haven't bought that review in the slightest. I got a free pair of glasses out of it because otherwise I couldn't test them because they were my prescription. But go and have a read of it and see what you think. But yes, they are superb glasses. And I think going forwards, Hoyer are going to sponsor us. So. Not because I gave a nice review, but because two's BTN listeners like Hoyer glasses. Right, cool things. Kelly, it's time for the cool thing. I need to go for a wee, so you can start us off. Because I know you'll fill the time while I go for a pee.
Okay.
I've got, please turn off your microphone.
Muller's just said I've got time for a number two as well.
Muller. Okay, so I'm going to pick something. I have not picked this. I think I've picked the car mount that I got from these guys. So I have this aluminum and foam. The black parts are foam iPad stand. And it's cool because it folds flat. And so when you drop this in your bag, it's super light. It weighs basically nothing. But it will hold up your iPad, and it's super sturdy, and you can adjust it to whatever angle you like. If you want it to be, you know, basically vertical, if you need it to be nice and flat, you can do all of that. All of the parts where your device, whatever it is that you want to put on here, touch it, there's foam already on it, so you can see from the profile, like, the foam sticks out further than the aluminum does, so you're not resting it on there. And there's these foam bits on the top part as well. And then the piece on the arm that pivots actually will grip a little bit. So if you are putting it on like a tray table somewhere, like on an airplane or on a train, then this helps keep it where you actually put it instead of having it slide. And this is from a company called Insanely Great.
Oh, I was just about to say, is that the Insanely Great one? Because I've got one of those. Yes. I gave that away at the bash.
Yeah, I love it. So Insanely Great makes a bunch of awesome stuff. The company is awesome. I have met the guy behind it a few times, and he's super fantastic. So this is my pick, and I'm trying to find the actual... There we go. This one is $79. But like I said, one of the things I really like about it is that it folds super flat, and it's super light. So, like, if you've looked at the compass stands and things like that, like, they're really awesome, but the compass stand is also a home defense weapon because that thing is really heavy, and you could really knock somebody out with it. This one, you probably couldn't do that kind of damage. There's three sort of flavors of iPad stand from them. This one, which is $79. Then there's the frame shift, which is a little more substantial piece, and it's $99. And then the frame shift pro, which I believe... has edges that wrap around and you can lock an iPad into that. That's $159. And I love Insanely Great. It's a guy that used to work at Apple and ages and ages and ages ago, like way before OS 10. And he's super awesome. I really like getting to talk to Richard. So Richard, if you happen to hear this, hi. And I really like this. This is my go-to iPad stand whenever I take my device places with me. So.
It is good. It is very good. I do say that. It is awesome.
And it looks, and I'm going to point out that it looks awesome considering that I literally drop this in my backpack all the time with whatever else is rattling around in it. And I've had it for a couple of years and it still looks reasonably new and in very good shape. So there you go.
Excellent. Good choice, Mrs. Thank you very much. Adam, what have you got for us, mate?
So, I have another kind of somewhat nerdy pick. I think I did a nerdy pick
just
last week, too.
A little.
Something that you're going to have to probably do a little bit of terminal hacking and stuff with. But it is so cool that I feel I need to pick it. So if you're doing anything with home automation and you want to get into HomeKit, you know that you're going to encounter this problem where you cannot sort of bring all your connected devices together because you have companies like Nest or other companies, Wink, places like this that may or may not support Apple's HomeKit technology. So there is a project called HomeBridge that will let you install plugins for almost any device out there, including Sonos and Nest and all these other things. And it'll basically let you use your Siri commands and HomeKit. It's a HomeKit hub, the one that Apple hasn't built and no one has built. So you can roll this thing yourself. You can build it yourself. You can do it on a Raspberry Pi. So I got a new Raspberry Pi B to actually test this out and run on. So I'm going to be playing around with this, but this seems to be the solution. This coupled with like an app like Home, there's an app called Home that will let you sort of run and set up all your scripts and things like that for doing your home automation. But this can bring everything together. I also believe there's a version that you can build and run if you have like a Synology disk station.
Yep.
Something like that. Sounds like maybe somebody else is running this, but I'm going to start playing around with this and hopefully this will be the solution so I can finally control my Nest from HomeKit.
In theory, it should run on almost anything because it's...
Yeah, you can run it on your old Mac. You could run it on your Mac. So, but finally, if you got tired of waiting for Apple or somebody else to come up with a solution, here's a way to do it yourself.
Excellent.
So I also put a link in the chat, not only to Homebridge, but there's also it's a Node.js thing, so you can find the plugins by searching the NPM website.
Yeah, no,
the list of plugins is amazing. I was going through here. They've got ones for Wink and for, like I said, Sonos and a bunch of other things. So Wemos. Mm-hmm.
I need this.
Sony TVs. You're going to do some fiddling. I don't think it's a, complete solution. You've still got to put it together. But when you really have companies that aren't getting into the HomeKit environment, this is kind of what you're left with. So
that's awesome.
Good pick, mate. Good pick. Thank you.
Awesome.
Doc, what do you have for us?
Okay. First, this one actually means an absolute lot to me, and I'm rocking the red today. Basically, I've been rocking red all week. Even as an American here, I want to take a moment of silence for Ziggy Stardust.
You got it. No arguments here.
As a music fan, as a black kid from the hood, when I first discovered David Bowie, I ain't gonna lie, I caught a lot of shit from my friends. But then I dragged more and more people into it, and then when Let's Dance circled around and it became a little bit more poppy, there's a dude who really, 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 really changed music for me and my eyes of what else was out there other than what was spoon-fed me by the radio. Mm-hmm. I got into digging in the crates and going into these old stores and libraries and digging in basements and whatnot to find old crusty records and going to yard sales, because I was ever in this search for something new and something different. And my whole connection to UK rock and roll, and I got into ska heavy and punk rock heavy, that all came because of Ziggy. And it made me want to be a DJ. And I'm normally not impacted by fans who die. I mean, celebrities who die. Because they're people and people die. But, I ain't gonna lie, Bowie hit me hard, yo. And I just say, I really, really hope somewhere in our lifetime, amongst all of the tech we talk about, Apple, if you want to diversify, give $100 billion to fixing this cancer bullshit. Because it's really starting to irritate me that people who are off the hook, like David Bowie, got to die because of cancer. Dude was 69, man. He was still going. He just dropped the album. And then he dies right after. And, when it was the 80s, I'm like, oh, he's going to overdose. But he made it past all of that. He was bulletproof. Well, so anyway, for getting emotional, but big ups to Ziggy.
Yeah, no, I that's fine. I agree totally. David Bowie was excellent. And he was one of the true people. I don't get upset about celebrities dying because they're self-effacing people more often than not. But I've got to say, he was a proper genius because half of what he did was utter shit, but the rest was well worth having.
But it was also different, too. One thing I saw that went by on Twitter was somebody saying, just like Doctor Who, everybody has their favorite David Bowie.
Genius. Someone who's a true genius is someone who produces some stuff that you go, oh my God, what the fudge have you done there? And then other stuff that comes out, you're like, wow, okay, that changed my life. And that's what he had. So I agree with that. But
he was amazing.
When you look at the amount of substances that he put in his body, it's not entirely plausible that something wasn't amiss with the you know, that triggered the cancerous response.
Yeah, no doubt.
Everything in moderation.
I followed that up with Alan Rickman just this morning.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much he put in his body either.
English
but
fellows who, you know, really affected my life. I mean, I watched Die Hard every Christmas. He was Professor
It's not
Snape.
A Christmas movie. Die Hard is not a fudging Christmas movie, for Christ's sake.
It's Christmas Eve. It is a
Who cares?
It's not a Right, moving on.
Okay. Anyway.
So, I have recently seen Die Hard.
This is
I
old
really
pick,
enjoy watching all the
Are you doing a pick as well there?
Amazing body of work and also 69 years old, also lost to cancer, also lovely fellow from the UK, and it's really awful, and I wonder sometimes, like Doc, you know, if somebody's got that kind of money, like, kick it to something that can make an actual difference. I mean, this is a thing that actually is hitting me sort of personally, because this is the third you are probably going to die of cancer diagnosis that I've heard in the last couple of weeks, and it really sucks because one of them is someone I know very well personally, and then two people who upped and died from it, and so this is really awful, and I wish that was a thing that we could spend time and energy on and not Survivor and American Idol and stuff like that. Like, I wish that there were some way that sort of energy could be focused on doing something to help eradicate cancer. I think that would be amazing. I got to see David Bowie once live. Changed my life.
And if you're Keith Richards, I say a few extra pairs tonight. Right, so Doc, you're doing a pick, mate. Go for it.
Yeah, you know, this one's been around for a while, but it's something that I just finally decided to dive into, and I'm having a pretty decent time with it. I was going back and forth between To Do and Todoist. I've used AnyDo for a long time, but it was time for a little bit of upgrade, and I'm just getting my feet wet with it, but it's pretty awesome because it can either be hella simple or hella complicated. It really depends on how you want to run with it, and it's helping me get a lot of stuff done. So, like, if you told yourself you were going to organize your crap this year and you're looking for a good way to do it, mostly because it's everywhere. It's laptop, iPhone, iPad, Android, Windows 10, Windows 8, like whatever you got, you can jump on Todoist and throw your stuff in it. So it's also very well integrated with all kind of things like IFTTT, Evernote, like whatever you got. So anyway, if you plan on getting your crap together, you might want to take a look at Todoist.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. And Patrice, what's your good thing?
My pick this week is something I recently tried out. As you guys know, I'm recording videos every now and then, and I don't know why I had this idea. I mean, I have this 128 gigabyte iPhone. Why can't I use it to use it as a field recorder to record audio? So I did some research and I found this app from Apogee. It's called Meta Recorder. It's free on the store, but you can only, I think, record 60 second clips with a free version. And if you have either one of their products or one of the Sennheiser, one of the Clip Mic or MK2, probably iPhone, iOS mics, then you can unlock it for free, and otherwise you have to pay, I don't know, probably $3.99 in the UK or $4.99 in Euro, and can unlock the full version. And it actually, I tried it, and actually works pretty well. I mean, good quality, I mean, for what it is, probably not comparable to a really good field recorder. But I mean, if you're out and about and you only have your iPhone, then this thing really might help. So I highly recommend it.
What was the price, mate?
$3.99 for the inner purchase. I think £3.99. So
that's good.
€4.99 euros.
Not bad at all. No, excellent. Excellent. Good pick. Like that one. I use sound recording stuff quite a lot on the iPhone. The sound recording intake system, the microphone, is excellent on the iPhone. So mm-hmm. if you've got a really good application to capture, then well done.
Yeah. Yep.
My cool thing is OK. That's O space K space A space Y question mark. It's an application from Philip Stollenmeier, and it's perfect for the morning motion. It is frustrating beyond belief. It was recommended to me by Stu Skinner on Twitter. And Stu, you bastard, because I have lost so much time. Basically, it's a simple puzzle game whereby there are some white blocks that you need to eradicate by hitting them with a black ball. And there are other blocks that you can bounce off, and there are lines that play like a guitar that you need to twang. Or there are black lines which play no part in the game whatsoever. And as you go through it, the whole setup of these things gets more and more complicated. Now, the other thing I really like about this, A, it's an addictive game and it is brilliant, and I am stuck on one level and Stu, you bastard. But you can pay what you like for it. There are levels of pricing that you can give that are up to you, and you pick which one you want to give. And if you think, you know, you play like 10 levels and it says, would you like to pay for this? And if you don't want to pay for it, that's fine. You don't have to. But I did. As soon as I got to level 10, I was like, this is a great game. And I paid quite happily because it was well worth the money. It's a great game. OK, A-Y, question mark. But there's a space, O space K space A space Y. We'll get it in a Google search. There you go. It is frustrating, annoying, Stu, you bastard, but it's great. I love it to bits. And I'll put a link in the chat room. If you're sitting going, oh, you and I'm driving, I can't do the links. You've already done that, thank Doc. I can't do that kind of thing because I'm driving. Doesn't matter. Go to britishshitnetwork.com/chat. Navigate on the little calendar that comes up that Anders created for us that says Thursday the 14th of January. And you can go through the entire chat room get yourself the links that you want. And if you scroll back far enough, you can get Ian Mitchell's IRC password. Bad luck, Ian.
But DPAN has already changed it, so that's fine.
But someone else logged in before they changed it. That's right. I hope they've emailed him the correct one. Excellent. Where can we get a hold of you, Kelly G?
You can find me on Twitter as Verso, and you can also hear me occasionally on the Mac Observer Daily Observations podcast. I write stuff once in a while at MacObserver.com, and you can find me on the After Show podcast. Next week, I will be helping kick off season 2 of Homework, which is Dave Kahlo and Aaron Mankey's podcast. I was the first guest for their second season, and that'll be coming soon.
Excellent, mate. Thank you very much. Adam, where are you?
You can find me over at maccast.com or maccast on iTunes, also twitter.com/maccast if you do that sort of thing, and weekly on the iOS show at theiosshow.com.
Excellent, mate. Looking very, very professional. And
excellent.
I've really, the credibility of what you said has increased tenfold because of that backdrop.
Can I come up with something more interesting? I need like a San Diego skyline.
On the other hand, Rorschach Doc.
Rorschach?
Rorschach Doc.
Am I breaking up?
No. Rorschach Doc. Go on. No, because your ink blot thing behind you.
Anyway, that is the stick. British Tech Network a couple times a week and somewhere in my basement surrounded by my wonderful Star Wars collection and enjoying life. And you can find me on the internet at doc.rock just about anywhere.
Excellent. And Patrice?
You can find me every week on the Mac Show, so on British Tech Network, in the Slack room also, British Tech Network. Send you an email if you want in. And on Twitter.
Why are you inviting emails to me? Give me your email address, not mine, bollocks.
No, it's I can't do anything, so it's yours.
If you're feeling angry and aggressive, use Ewan's email.
Yeah, yep. You'll see you in the email.
No, right to the pissed off German. Why have you
and
got
Lou a piece saying I'm the Slack boy?
Why have you got a cut piece of cardboard on top of your lamp in the corner behind you, dude?
I used that for some video, so
Oh, that kind of video, obviously, where you needed a slit of light. Yes, I know.
No, it's not a lamp. It's actually a microphone stand.
When you get naked at the weekends and drape yourself in that red lamp with the Confederate or the American flag there. American yes, flags. I know. And you need that very strong shaft of light. Yeah, I know exactly the kind of video you're making. It's got something all to do with cookery.
Shaft he's looking for.
Yeah.
Now the thing is as well, right? We got your caricature done this week, Patrice.
Oh, nice.
Did you like it?
I haven't seen it yet.
You must have seen it. I tweeted it out. I put it in the Slack room.
No, I didn't see it. When did you do that?
Oh, no. We did it. Hang on. So let me just... Hang on. Just fill for time, someone, for Christ's sake.
I got my movie realization samurai Star Wars creatures from Japan.
Come on.
These are epic. If you feel like wasting 150 US...
If you had tweeted it out and used my Twitter handle, I would have seen it.
So there you go. There is.
Oh my god!
It's nice.
Oh go. God, my video is lagging.
It's coming. Don't worry. There's Patrice.
He has a whisk.
Right. So the thing is, right.
That is great.
So I asked Patrice to send me three or four pictures that we can send to Len to get his handle done, right? His caricature done. One of the pictures he sends, he's wearing a scarf, and I'm kind of like, what the f... But okay.
That's a French thing.
The other one, he's wearing a shirt that's still got the size label on it, so I've included that, which was what the M is.
Yes!
And finally, I said, can you draw him holding an egg whisk? And the question was, well, why is that? Why is that, Patrice? Why are you holding an egg whisk?
Because I have a show on YouTube called Casual Kitchen.
That's right. So that's what the obvious answer is. However, a German holding an egg whisk, if you watch Mit der Egg Whisk, is a show in Britain called Hello Hello. Which you need to Google that or YouTube
and have
a look at Hello Hello Mit der Egg Whisk. And the fallen Madonna with the big boobies as well. There you go.
Oh, God.
There you go. So a German with an egg whisk. Yes, you do a show on cookery, but that's not it. My name's Ewan Rankin. You can get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. If you want your hate mail, send it to BritishTechNetwork@gmail.com. If you don't want hate mail and you want to just slag off Patrice, send it to me as well because I'll forward it on to him. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.